All right. So let's jump right into our finance report this morning. I'm glad you got that as a joke. I would not do that to you on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Mother's Day, a very special day here at Johnston Chapel through the years. It was on Mother's Day, 1953. Preacher Jimmy Jones preached his first sermon across the road by our garage in the schoolhouse. And for 70 years, this church has been, over 70 years, this church has been blessed by its mothers. Every lesson taught, every song sung, every hug shared, every meal prepared, every penny given, every diaper changed, every prayer prayed. Right? We thank God for you. We thank God for our rich heritage of mothers. We thank God for you mothers today. We honor God's good design, of motherhood. And we also recognize, as Pastor Jason alluded to, that there are many women hurting today. You know, we live in a fallen world, a world of suffering, and there are certain things that cause pain and can cast a dark shadow over this day. And I want to encourage you, there's a God who knows, there's a God who sees, there's a God who loves you deeply. He understands, and His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for this day. His grace is sufficient for every day. You might look at the sermon title, A Mom is a Mom, and think, well, that's obvious. That's obvious, Pastor. A mom is a mom. But there's a cultural war being waged. Am I right? A cultural war being waged against the family. A cultural war being waged against motherhood and against fatherhood. 6 weeks from now, prepare yourself, dads. 6 weeks from now, I'll preach a message titled, A Dad is a Dad. And I'll use this same passage of Scripture. If you'll turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please turn there with me. And if you're able to stand, would you please stand with me? I'd like to read the passage. We'll stand together out of reverence for the Word of God this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verses 7 through 12. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward believers. And we'll stop there. Now we'll continue on actually. Verses 11 and 12. Dads, this is the message for next time. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Thank you. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of His Word this morning. Some years ago, I shared Pastor Kevin DeYoung's perspective on this passage. It's excellent. I'd like to share it again. How Paul's ministry reflected both motherhood and fatherhood, as we just saw in the passage. He writes this: mothering implies gentleness, affection, and sacrifice. Fathering, on the other hand, implies exhortation, encouragement, and a spiritual charge. This is not to suggest that one set of virtues are exclusively feminine and the other exclusively masculine. After all, Paul says he was gentle among the Thessalonians like a nursing mother. Men can be tender. Women can exhort, but there's a method behind the metaphors. The picture of a divinely aided gentleness is a mother. The picture of a divinely guided exhortation is a father. A mom is a mom and not a dad. And a dad is a dad and not a mom. Now you know where the sermon title came from for this morning. He continues, if there's any vocation that mitigates against gentleness, it's taking care of rowdy, unruly, ungrateful children. I'll try to not to make any eye contact with any of our children this morning. And Kevin DeYoung says, so take time to thank your mom for all the times she was affectionately desirous of you and eagerly gave of her own life because you were so dear to her. Very well said, Kevin DeYoung. I want to give you a little bit of background on our passage this morning in 1 Thessalonians 2. You probably noticed Paul uses plural pronouns, we, us, and our. That's because he's including his fellow missionaries, Timothy and Silas, along with him in this letter. He writes from Corinth. Sometime during the middle of the first century, he's writing during his second missionary journey. He's been away from the believers, the Thessalonians, and he's concerned for them. And as we see in the text, as you see in this letter, he's actually giving a defense. He's addressing false accusations against him and his team. He clarifies that he and his colleagues didn't come to the Thessalonians with flattering words or with greedy motives, nor did they come for personal gain. They didn't come making demands as an apostle. They didn't come in this way. He's again addressing this false accusation that's been lodged against him and his missionary colleagues. As part of that defense, a defense of the authenticity of his mission, Paul uses that maternal metaphor, right? That of a nursing mother. What a beautiful and sweet picture that is. And that leads us right into the theme of our study this morning. Motherhood is missional. Motherhood is missional. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're challenged, that you're lifted up through the teaching of God's Word this morning. Gloria Furman, in an article for Desiring God, shared her heart. She shared these words. She wrote, "The call to repent and believe the gospel message reverberates all over the world. Evangelism is happening in remote jungles where missionary planes land on runways of grass, in coffee shops set in the shadows of medieval architecture, in high-end boutiques in shopping malls, and in rickety taxis inching forward on congested roads in overcrowded cities. We hear missionary hero stories, and our hearts soar with thankfulness for the work God is doing. We pray for the goers and cheerfully give our finances to them. I want to go, but I'm afraid the farthest I can go these days is to the baby's crib and back." Some of our parents understand that we're up here this morning. One new mom told me with a sigh, Gloria Furman writes, "Sometimes moms see their ministry to their children as insignificant when compared to other ministries. After all, crowds of thousands gather in open-air theaters and cheer to hear the good news. Now listen, but because motherhood is missional, there's something of eternal value taking place in the realm of the unseen. It's true. Sometimes the only cheering a mom hears is when the lid of the ice cream container snaps open in the kitchen. But as mothers share the gospel with more souls than we can count and faithfully raise up the next generation, the applause of heaven echoes in eternity." Very well said, very well written. Moms, I hope you're encouraged by that. In Paul's defense of his mission, we're going to see four beautiful qualities of motherhood. The first quality is tender care. Tender care that really only a mom can provide. You know, we look at Paul and we see Paul sometimes as this maybe hard, unbending, stern man, a man who exercised his apostolic authority at every opportunity. But the description of his ministry here reveals a warm man, a man of feelings, a man of sensitivity. Look at verse 7. "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." Mothering, again, implies gentleness. But gentleness isn't exclusively feminine. Men can be tender, as Kevin Young reminded us. Women who do not have children of their own can also be tender and gentle. My mind was drawn to Amy Carmichael. Some of you know her incredible story. She never married. She believed that her calling to India required her full devotion, so she remained single. In 1901, a 7-year-old Indian girl named Preena escaped from a Hindu temple, sought refuge with Amy. The girl's widowed mother had dedicated her as a child to be married to the gods. What that meant for this little girl was a life of prostitution. She was traumatized. Her hands had been branded with hot irons for a previous escape effort of hers. As Amy investigated deeper, she unveiled what she referred to as an evil greater in its extent and more grievously unholy than ever imagined. In that moment, Amy Carmichael made up her mind. She made up her mind to act. She made up her mind to do something. Later she wrote this, I meant it with an intensity I know not how to express, that such unutterable wrong should be swept out of the land without delay. Prina's escape, that little girl's escape, launched a ministry, a 50-year ministry to rescuing girls from a life of prostitution, of giving them a home. Eventually it led to the rescue of boys as well. And today the Donover Fellowship still rescues children who would otherwise be trafficked, who would otherwise be living on the streets. What a legacy that is of Amy Carmichael. And I think of the women in this church who act as mothers to those who need one, to those who need a mother in their lives. Thank you for your gentleness. We thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for devoting yourself to the ministry, ministries of care, ministries of discipleship. Thank you for fulfilling that role of a mother. Circumstances like death or estrangement or even distance, you've been a mother to women in this church, men in this church. We thank you. Great is your reward in heaven. Paul treats the Thessalonians as if they're his own. In a sense, they are his own children. Why? Because he introduced them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7, the Greek is difficult. You probably noticed some of the nuances as you were following along if you're not using the ESV. For the sake of time, and to spare our mothers from a discussion revolving around manuscript evidence this morning on Mother's Day, we're just going to go with the ESV rendering. All right, the picture here is the gentleness of a mother nursing her own child. That little phrase there, taking care, it's an interesting one. You dig a little deeper and it literally means to warm with body heat. Are you catching a glimpse of that picture? To warm with body heat. I received a touching picture this week via text from Pastor John King. Some of you heard the special news. I was scrolling through my phone and the picture came up and it was his daughter, Missy, smiling big and holding her newborn son, Ian, very close to her heart. Right? There's nothing more tender than that. Right? A mother with a newborn baby, a mother nurturing and cherishing her baby. Also reminded of my dad's birth story. This could get a little weird. All right. He loves to tell how his mother cried when he was born. Okay, true story. True story. She cried when he was born because, in her words, he was so ugly. This is true. Right? It was a difficult birth. Some of you have experienced the same thing. He arrived into the world and his head was severely elongated from the difficult journey. And I think that's why you always got a kick out of a certain Rodney Dangerfield joke. You remember, some of you, it was common practice to take a baby and hang the baby upside down and spank the baby on his bottom just to promote breathing. Fresh out of the womb. Well, here's the joke Dangerfield used to share. My dad loved it. When I was born, I was so ugly the doctor slapped my mother. Leave that there. To set your minds at ease, my dad's head went back to normal eventually. And he looks like a normal human being now. This is a terrible transition, but I'm going back to Kevin DeYoung's quote. Kevin DeYoung's quote. There's a method behind the metaphors. The picture of divinely aided gentleness is a mother. A mom is a mom. Right? A face only a mother could love. Right? A mom is a mom. If there's any vocation that mitigates against gentleness, it's taking care of rowdy, unruly, ungrateful children. Those words are really good. Divinely aided. Right? Don't miss those words. Divinely aided. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Mothers are inclined to gentleness. It comes kind of natural to you. This is God's good design. But spiritual fruit isn't produced by human effort. We need to understand that. It is divinely aided. We need the Spirit of God. Maybe you're coming up a little short. Moms, in your gentleness with your children, with your family, or dads, or all of us in our gentle responses. Again, it's not about human effort. It's not about trying harder. It's about yielding yourself more. So I encourage you, moms, in the pursuit of gentleness in the home, would you surrender yourself afresh today? Surrender yourself, submit yourself to the Spirit's control so that fruit, so your life will be full of that fruit of gentleness. We all need divine aid in order to be gentle. Second beautiful quality of motherhood, sacrificial love. Paul keeps building on this metaphor. He does so throughout the passage. And he reveals the motive behind this tender care. Look at verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. It's really a beautiful verse. The motive behind a mother's tender care is what? It's love. We sang a lot about the love of God this morning. That motive behind a mother's tender care. The verb translated being affectionately desirous is found only here, one time in the entire New Testament. It means to passionately and earnestly long for someone. And Paul takes that extremely rare word used only once in the New Testament and he attaches it to a mother's love. And he says, basically, this is how we feel. This is how me and the missionaries feel about our spiritual children, the Thessalonians. Right? They went to share the gospel. It was their calling, part of the Great Commission. But they didn't just do it out of a sense of obligation. Note that phrase there. Ready to share. We were ready to share with you the gospel. That phrase, ready to share, signifies free and deliberate choice. The NIV reads this way. We were delighted to share with you. KJV reads this way. We were willing to have imparted unto you. We kind of put those nuances of the translations together and we capture the depth of meaning behind that phrase, ready to share. Excuse me. Mothers, are you ready to share the gospel with your children? Are you delighted to do so? Are you willing to do so? It's interesting. Last week was a pretty special Mission Sunday. We focused on the Great Commission and the need for the gospel to go to the unreached peoples of the world. Well, this week, here we are. We're focusing again on the Great Commission, but this time the challenge centers in on the home. Mothers, as you go about your daily life, as you go about your daily routine, you're to make disciples. You're to make disciples of your children. And we thank you for it. You're doing a fantastic job. On the screen, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Right? That's the first and greatest call of a mother. Love the Lord your God with your everything. These words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. As Gloria Furman expressed again, as mothers share the gospel with more souls than we can count. Isn't that a great statement too? And it's so true all across the land, all across the world. As mothers share the gospel with more souls than we can count and faithfully raise up the next generation, the applause of heaven echoes in eternity. In order to share the gospel, you got to first understand it, right? You got to first understand it. You first have to embrace it yourself. What is the gospel of God? It was in the music this morning. It was all over the music. It was in the scripture Pastor Ricky read. The gospel is the good news. The greatest news ever given. That Christ died for your sins. That He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus urges every mother. Jesus urges every person to repent and believe the gospel. To repent and to believe the good news. To repent means to turn away from sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To believe means to turn to Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Mothers, you can't pass along what you don't have. Fathers, you can't pass along what you don't have. Everyone, we cannot pass along what we don't have ourselves. Repent and believe. Right? Cry out to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Christ died and rose again for me. I trust Him now as Savior. I follow Him as Lord in my life. And with that command to repent and believe comes that beautiful promise, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of the great promises of Scripture. Notice in our text, Paul, Timothy, Silas share not only the gospel, but they share their own selves. I can't think of any person who shares more of herself than a mom, than a mother, sharing your very lives with us. That phrase, own selves, means the whole personality, your inmost being. Moms, you pour your very hearts into your children. Grandmoms, I haven't addressed you yet. You pour your very hearts into your grandchildren. You would do anything for them. You are generous. You are so generous. You give and you give and you give at great expense, at great cost to yourself. You set aside your own desires. Why? For the benefit of your children, for the good and well-being of your children. There was a mother, an accomplished musician. She was once changing a particularly nasty diaper. Ever been there before? I bet you have. She said to a friend standing beside her, "These hands have played Mozart." To which the friend replied, "Maybe these hands are diapering the next Mozart." It's a good perspective there. Why do you do it, moms? Why do you do it? It's right here in our text. Look what Paul says. Because you had become very dear to us. Paul's affection for the Thessalonians grew so deep that he's willing to sacrifice everything for them. Moms, I know how dear your children have become to you. Those two words, very dear. If you look a little bit closer at the Greek, you discover that it's an adjective and it's connected with agape love, right? The highest love, the love of God, a love that willingly sacrifices for the good of others. Moms, I encourage you, don't grow weary in well-doing, in that sacrificial love for your family. In due time, you will indeed, as God promises, reap a harvest. You're a reflection. You're a reflection of the love of God in your home. Motherhood, characterized by tender care. Sacrificial love. I got to keep moving. It's Mother's Day. You guys got Mother's Day lunch prepared. We got to be an encouragement too here. Third quality of motherhood, diligent service. Last two points are a little quicker here. Diligent service. Put me on the record. No one works harder than a mom. You can write it down. Put me on record for saying that today. No one works harder than a mom. Again, Paul writing to defend the authenticity of his mission. He and his colleagues, they've been accused of something. They've been accused of serving with greedy motives. So he keeps on with this nursing mother metaphor that he's been using. That word "for" identifies that he's continuing the metaphor. Verse 9, look there with me. "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God." Paul urges the Thessalonians to recall, to bring to mind, to remember the time they spent together. Paul and his colleagues refused financial support. They wouldn't accept any contributions. Why? Because they didn't want there to be any stumbling block of the gospel, any hindrance of the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No misunderstanding. They did not want to be a burden to them. And that those two words, labor and toil, sum up their work. Labor indicates this weariness that comes from strenuous activity. Toil refers to overcoming difficulties. We know from the book of Acts, Paul was a tent maker to support himself in the ministry of preaching the gospel and planting churches. But those two words, labor and toil, they refer not so much to the weariness connected with the tent-making ministry of Paul, but rather really to the entire life and ministry of Paul. Here's where it comes down to ground level for moms. It was difficult for him to find time to do everything he had to do. So what does the text say he did? He worked day and night. He worked night and day. No punching in, punching out on a time clock. A 24/7 effort from Paul. Mothers, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The long list of everything to do. Cooking and cleaning and chauffeuring and laundry and shopping and homework. That list could go on and on. It's difficult to find time for everything. Listen to this job posting. Now hiring. Work from home. Position requires strong ability to multitask. The successful applicant will be able to plan and prepare nutritious meals while maintaining mountains of clean laundry. Get that idea out of your head, Mom. There's no mountain of laundry waiting for you at home. All right? She will be able to provide tutoring, nursing, and counseling on an as-needed basis. In addition, applicants should be available for event planning, including birthday parties. Position involves staying up to date on all recommended practices of child development, including but not limited to temper tantrums and adolescent awkwardness. Sleeping and eating, not guaranteed. Applicant must expect to work an average of 97 hours per week. That's actual hours, by the way. 52 weeks per year. Pay range, $0 to $0 DOQ, depending on qualifications. I like the ending. Fringe benefits, priceless. Isn't it? Motherhood, it is priceless. The job description of a mother. Researchers did some work there to find out what it would take to pay someone to accomplish all those job duties. Over $100,000 per year, annual salary. Some of you moms are like, yeah, I'll take it. $100,000 a year. By the way, that doesn't take into consideration that nearly 75% of moms today work outside of the home as well as inside the home. Motherhood is laborious toil. It is hard, hard work. Yet the psalmist says this, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. I thought of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 on the screen, verses 27 through 29. This is not to put a burden on you, moms. This is to encourage you for your hard work. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. He praises her like this. Many women have done excellently, but honey, you surpass them all. Husbands, children today, here's your challenge. Take notice. Right? Take notice. Not just today, obviously, but every day. Take notice and say thank you. Honor your wives. Honor your mothers. Better yet, jump in. Help. Right? Help relieve some of that burden that they're carrying. Fourth and final quality of motherhood, genuine devotion. Paul concludes his defense by appealing to his integrity, the integrity of his colleagues. Look at verse 10 with me. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. And Paul summarizes their conduct, their behavior, by stacking these adverbs. The word holy means to be set apart. It emphasizes the quality of life that comes from complete devotion, complete dedication to the Lord. Word righteous refers to conduct that rises up or conforms to a standard. What is that standard? Obviously the standard is the Word of God. Blameless speaks to a manner of life free from accusation. It's the life above reproach. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, you guys are my witnesses. You know the character of our conduct. You know how holy and righteous and blamelessly we lived while among you. And I ask you, mothers, can you say the same? Are you living that holy, righteous, and blameless life before your children? I know you have. You've shared the gospel with them from the day they were born. But are you actively living it out before them today? Your children are witnesses. Your children are witnesses. They're watching. Watching moms. They're watching us dads as well. They've got questions. They've got a lot of questions. Is Christianity real? Does Jesus really satisfy in life? Is there joy in serving the Lord? Can God be trusted in the hard times, the difficult days of life? They have questions. What answers are you giving, moms? I know you have the right words to say, but not just by the words you speak, the answers you give, but what answers are you giving by how you're living your lives before them? Paul takes it a step further. You are witnesses, and God also is a witness. Man looks on the outward appearance. What does God look at? The Lord looks at our hearts. Nothing is hidden from Him. He knows all and He sees all. So Paul appeals to God, the one who constantly tests the hearts of His servants. If you look at the verse going into our text, verse 4, Paul said this, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Right? God's omniscient. Moms, He knows and He sees the heart. Consider the words Colossians 3, 23 and 24 as we apply them specifically to motherhood, this principle. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Let me share one mother's thoughts, one final mother's thoughts here about Mother's Day. I need to hear that my role as a mom is hard, valuable, kingdom work. Remind me that my unseen sacrifices and struggles are seen and valued by the Lord. I often feel undervalued, misunderstood, and looked over by a culture that applauds outward, visible contributions to society. So much of my work as a mother is hidden. It's hidden away in the unseen moments of grace with my children. I sacrifice and struggle because of love. Loving others is kingdom work, right? Motherhood, it's kingdom work. I thought of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. A beautiful promise from the Lord Jesus. So moms and everyone gathered today, motherhood is missional. It is, please hear me, it is valuable kingdom work. It's characterized by tender care, sacrificial love, diligent service, genuine devotion. Thank God for moms. Thank God for moms. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So thankful for our moms today. Day in and day out, you demonstrate how very dear we are to you. We thank you for that. Today we're going to flip it. We're going to say right back at you, moms. You are very dear to us. You really are. Moms, you are so very dear to us. We love you and we thank you. We honor you today. Father, thank you for motherhood, your good design from the beginning of time. God, thank you for how you just uniquely gifted moms to provide that gentleness, that nurture, that sacrificial love, that devotion in the home. God, thank you for my mother. God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my mother-in-law. Thank you for my grandmothers. They're good gifts. God, I pray that every woman here would feel valued today, would feel honored. God, would feel motivated afresh to pursue your kingdom work in the home. Thank you for moms. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here, mom or otherwise, who has never embraced the gospel for himself or for herself, may today be the day of salvation. God, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your good gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand, church? And moms, if you'd like, come forward and just kind of rededicate yourself to motherhood. If you'd like to come, and are some of our pastors' wives, our other mothers are nearby. Would you? I just put them on the spot. I'm in big trouble later on Mother's Day. That's okay. If our pastors' wives, if you're available and free, if you'd come forward, maybe some moms want to come forward and just kneel down and pray with you and just kind of recommit themselves. I know you don't want to come down and kneel with me. Maybe come down and kneel with one of the pastor's wives. But however the Lord leads, if you want to recommit yourself where you are, if you need to receive Jesus today, please come. The altar is open.